The book of Proverbs, chapter number 6, and I'm going to be reading from verse number 23. Like I did say, we have been going through a series, the 10 laws of freedom, and we're on number 7 today. And we've just read the seventh law as it's written in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, verse 14. That's supposed to be our text that we've been going through, but I'm going to be reading today from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6, and I'll read from verse number 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. And an adulteress will prey upon his precious soul. Verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Verse number 32, very important. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. I'll read that again. Please prepare my slide. Technical team, please. Verse number 32 says, again, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. I would like you to see what the other translation says. This Bible passage says, but the man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys himself. But the man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys himself. Next. But a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. I've taken time to read other verses and other translations just so that we can get a grasp of what the heart of the Lord is regarding this matter. I'm going to be teaching this morning by the grace of God on what I've titled, Only Fools Play This Game. Only Fools Play This Game. Only Fools Play This Game. Shall we pray? Lord, as we share your word this morning, we humbly come into your presence. Speak to us, Lord. Inspire our heart unto understanding. Let this not just be a communication of instruction, Lord. Let it be a communication of life. Let life be imparted to our souls. I ask for a hearing heart, an understanding heart for your people. I ask that you anoint me afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit, that I may be able to communicate your heart with your people, so that both the speaker and the hearer of this word will have been tremendously blessed and transformed by the life that flow that life that flows from you. We receive help this morning. We receive grace as we go through your word together. Let life flow, Lord. Let life flow through us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, and the people of God say big, amen. Amen. Only fools play this game. Only fools play this game. I've taken time to read other translations just because I wanted the church to appreciate that this is not just from me, this is the heart of God regarding this matter. And I'm trusting that the Lord will give me the grace to minister to your heart with grace this morning, with grace this morning. This is one of the subjects that preachers don't normally want to talk about because it's like blowing your cover. Many people assume that you don't actually know anything about this thing. So by the time you start talking about it, you are blowing your cover, because it's just good that people continue to have the impression that you know nothing about it, you know. But that's going to going to help us. And that's one of the reasons why we preach in series and we follow the pattern of the word rather than just pick and choose from time to time. Only fools play this game. Sometimes in the 17th century, something interesting happened, specifically in the 1960s. A man was prosecuted, convicted, and he was fined £300. He was put into jail, and his publishing company was closed. All his publications were destroyed. He will later spend his last days in the prison, and he actually died in jail. I'm sure you'll be wondering, what exactly did this man do? This man published a material, and he missed out just one word from the material that he published. You want to know the material that he published? He published the Bible, what we refer to today as the New King James, the King James Bible, in the 17th century, and he missed out just one word. And that infuriated King Charles, because King Charles had ordered 1,000 copies of this Bible, and because this man missed out this one word, it later became known as the Wicked Bible. Now, what was the word that he missed out? The word that he missed out is the third word in the 14th verse of the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. If you want to open your Bible to Exodus chapter number 20, and you read verse number 14, but you miss out on the third verse, and you tell me how it sounds. Exodus chapter number 20. You go to verse 14, and you miss out the third verse. Some of you are smiling already. That verse is supposed to read, "You shall not commit adultery." But the man missed out the "not." So it read, "You shall commit adultery." Now, King Charles was very furious. He had already ordered 1,000 copies of this, and it took about a year before this mistake was discovered. It's been regarded as the worst typo of all ages. And the man was prosecuted for that and jailed. Now, he was later going to die in jail. His publications were seized from him. It was destroyed. They were supposed to actually be destroyed, but somehow 10 copies escaped because human beings were involved. 10 copies escaped, and I have a copy. Or the electronic copy of that particular page. Do you want to put up my fourth slide, please? I'm not sure whether it's the fourth one, the next one. It's not very clear. So you can see that in verse number 14, "You shall commit adultery." Do you want to try the next slide? Maybe that's clearer. Okay. "Thou shalt commit adultery. You can take that off now, because some people will be looking for this Bible, you know. it will interest you to know that this Bible was actually very much prized, and a few years ago, they actually auctioned it, and it went for $89,500 for just one copy of it. Now, imagine a situation whereby God says, okay, it is the copy of the Bible that you've got in your hand that the judgment is going to be upon. In other words, you're going to be judged based on the content of the Bible that you've got. I'm sure many more people will rush for this kind of a Bible because it actually gives a license to committing adultery. Now, I went into that. The name of the man, by the way, is Mr. Barker. If you want to Google it, just Google the Wicked Bible. There's a lot of information about that. Now, but why I went into that is because a lot of people in our day and time treat the issue of adultery with kid's glove, and it's just a rampant subject in our society, and people have actually... People actually think that God has actually changed his mind in the 21st century because it's done by everybody anyway. Whether you are a believer or you are not a believer, everyone commits adultery at some level or the other. Now, let me say this, that I want to serve the word of God this morning on the plate of God's mercy, on the plates of God's forgiveness. What I mean by that is what I'm going to be teaching on is going to be at the background of it. I want you to remember what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 130, verse number 4. The Bible says, if thou, O Lord, will mark iniquities, who will stand? It's a rhetorical question, which means no one will stand. But the Bible says, but there is forgiveness with you. There is forgiveness with you. There is forgiveness with you so that you may be feared. Everything I'm going to be saying this morning, I want you to put it on that plate. There is forgiveness in you so that you may be feared. In other words, God is compassionate, God is merciful, He's gracious, and He's always a God of another chance. Now, having said that, like I said, many more people in our day and time would probably have loved to have the copy of that Bible if only God would give them the go-ahead to say that you're only going to be judged based on that Bible, the copy of the Bible that you've got. Adultery, fornication, extramarital affairs is not a big deal in our day and time. I mean, it's just all over the place. Everyone does it, people say. It's actually said that the television has promoted it to such an extent that 13 times much more than the television will talk about the marital faithfulness between a man and a woman, it talks about all the other things, fornication, adultery. And we are actually celebrating them. You know, people celebrate adultery and fornication on the TV. There are all kinds of programs on our TVs and on the show. They call them live show or reality show that promote adultery, that celebrate and applaud fornication. You know, the other time I was watching the TV and there was this program. I don't know what it's called, but a man and a woman will come. They've never met before, and then they will be undressing. Live camera. Of course, they are going to cover a few spaces so that, you know, some of us don't see what's going on. And I said, what's happening? As in, you just meet the person, you are meeting on set for the first time, or so they make us believe, and then you start undressing, you know. I was at work one day, and a lady approached me, and he said, oh, did you watch Bachelor yesterday? I said, Bachelor, what's Bachelor? if you know the kind of things on my neck, you won't be asking me for Bachelor. Now I've had to watch it at some point, but what I could remember as at the time I was talking to this lady was that this is going to be like a guy who comes in and there are several sets of girls and he will have some, you know, maybe conversation or dating or some sort, and then he will choose one. Is that correct? Come on, don't pretend as if you don't watch this thing. Is that correct? Okay. You know, when you preach like this to people, it's like they have just been imported from another planet and they have just come into health for a while and they are going back to where they have come from. But that's not true, you know. And that's one of the reasons why adultery actually fosters its resources amidst us, because evil thrives in the arena of secrecy. If you don't talk about it, if you don't knock it on the head, it thrives a lot. And that's exactly the reason why I believe God wants us to talk about this. And like I prayed, it's not just talking about it as per instruction. I believe that life will flow into us as we discuss about this, because that's more important to cause us, because we don't need rehabilitation, people of God. We need resuscitation. A dead man does not need to be rehabilitated. He needs an injection of life so that he comes from death to life. Anyone that is involved in adultery, the Bible just calls him a fool. A fool. Only fools play the game. Only fools play the game. Now, you know, there was a time a few years ago that there was this these hackers who hacked into a particular website of an organization called Ashley Madison. I won't ask you about it because you pretend as if you don't know. Now, Ashley Madison happened to be a dating website, and people go in there to, you know, to connect, you know. We use all kinds of words, you know, just to downplay adultery, you know, connect, you know, just hang out, you know, affair, you know. It's sin, adultery. That's what it's called in the Bible. It has no other name. It's sin. Now, and then they hacked into it, and then they got the names of many people. And then they threatened that they were actually going to publish those names, and people started phoning in, you know, that actually Madison should do something against the hackers because they don't want their names published. Because most of the people that have gone into the website are actually using the website, the dating website, were already married. Some of them even highly influential, highly placed people in the society. It will surprise you that there are pastors' names on that list. People that are standing in the temple of the Lord, you know, to teach God's word. Don't look at me anyhow, please. Just I'm not one of them, okay? I'm just telling you. You know, so these things are rampant. Do you know that there are actually dating sites for married Christian believers today? Married couples, Christian believers, you have a dating site to connect with others. And I said, what are you connecting? We already connected. You know, there is no space in you to have any other connection. And people are driving there in droves to connect with other people. It's not called an affair in God's word. It is adultery. It is adultery. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to bring to our God wants to jack us back onto our senses today, to know that the fact that it is allowed does not mean it is right. The fact that our society in the 21st century just play with it anyhow does not mean it is right. You know the way it is described in Proverbs chapter number 6, it says, can a man pick up fire and put it in his bosom and not get burned? Can a man walk on a hot coal and not get burned? It's a rhetorical question. Are you out of your mind? How do you expect that you will go scot-free when you've got fire burning in your bosom? And it is a call to us, people of God, this morning, that it is not cool, it is not right. Why exactly, I'm sure you want to know, is God against adultery, every extramarital, premarital affairs? Why is God against it? Simple. Because every extramarital affairs, every form of fornication or adultery, or whatsoever form or shape it is taking, is going to destroy the very foundation of the community, of the society, which is marriage. It's an erosion on the institution, the oldest institution that God put into place, which is called the institution of marriage. There are three institutions that God has put into place. The first and the oldest is the marriage covenant between a man and a woman. The second is the civil governance, you know, that there will be authority in the land. And the third is the church. And every time that you come against, you put together any form of agenda, and it comes against those institutions, the person is going to be in crisis, especially the first institution, the oldest institution called the institution of marriage. That there is an erosion of the foundation of the society each time people go into extramarital affairs, each time people commit adultery and fornication or whatever cool name that we want to give to them today. You know, I've seen instances when couples have actually go through hardship, all sorts of hardship, and they have survived it. They have survived financial hardship. People have survived health crisis. But does it amaze you, does it surprise you that very, very few marriages survive adultery? Why? Because it goes into the very foundation of the covenant of marriage. It goes into the very foundation of marriage called trust. Trust is eroded. And many marriages will never be the same, except by the mercy of the Lord, that some will survive. In the Old Testament, adultery, the consequence of adultery was death. death penalty. I thank God because we don't have that today, because maybe there will be not many of us around. Death penalty. They find you having an affair with somebody. I want to use the word affair because that appeals. If you talk about adultery, somebody will say, so where is that in the dictionary? But affair, we all know affair. If you have an affair with a woman, we have an affair with a man, you are caught, boom, gone. In the New Testament, the consequence was a possibility of divorce. Death in the Old Testament. An opportunity to divorce. Don't forget, don't misquote me, people of God. It does not necessarily have to lead to divorce. It doesn't have to. But Jesus speaking, and we may have the opportunity to go there, give that as one of the options, as an option. You have the option to get out of that marriage because of unfaithfulness, infidelity. So in the Old Testament, it was death. In the New Testament, it was divorce. In the eternal kingdom, it is damnation. Complete separation from God, from your maker. So it is death, divorce, or damnation. Is that serious, people of God? Is that really serious? Is that really serious? So I say, you mean it's really serious? How else do you want me to say it? It is a serious matter, people of God. People are called into covenant as a man and as a woman. The marriage is not just an agreement. It's not just partnership, you know, because these days we use the word partner a lot, you know. partner. You know, people have been living together for 10 years. Are you married? No, he has not proposed. But you've got kids, yes. So how did that happen? I can't figure it out. Partner. It's a covenant, not just a partnership. And before there is a consummation, there has to be a covenant. There has to be a covenant between a man and a woman, and it's called a marriage covenant. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and join or cleave to his wife. Genesis chapter number 2, verse 24. And the two of them shall become one flesh. And I will go to that in a short while. Is a living, there is a cleaving, and there is a becoming. That's the way it works. That's the order of God. Anything outside that leads to destruction. If there is any consummation before there is a covenant, there is disaster. So what we have in our day and time are people cohabiting forever. And you say, have you married? No, he has not proposed to me. The first child, second child, third child. You are closer to the grave than you are to your, you know, because when is he going to propose to you? He will never propose to you. Why? Simple. Because no one buys a car when you can get the milk free. Simple. You see me after the service, I will interpret that to you. You don't buy the car when you can get the milk free. It's a disaster in our society, people of God. And it is actually more of a concern because believers, they are supposed to uphold the standard of righteousness, have been drawn into it. So you begin to find people in church begin to talk like unbelievers. You know, describe the marriage covenant as if it's just a contract of some sort or some agreement that you can come in and go out, jump in and go out as many times as you want. It's not so. The Bible says it was not so in the beginning. In the beginning, it was never so. So there has to be a covenant, and then we can proceed to what we call a consummation. And that's exactly what also happens to even people that have premarital sex, you know. There has to be a covenant first. Before there is a consummation. There has to be a covenant before there is a consummation. Matthew chapter number 5. Let's hear the Lord and our Savior talk about this. Matthew chapter number 5. And I'm going to read from verse number 27. Don't forget, we're talking about only fools play this game. Only fools play this game. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 27. This is the word of. This is what Jesus said. You have heard that it was said of old, "You shall not commit adultery." You have heard that it was said of old, "You shall not commit adultery." Verse 28. But I say to you, that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Verse 29, this is very important. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Verse 30, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. You know what Jesus was talking to them about in this place? You have heard of hold. And then he quoted, you have heard of hold. They said, you shall not commit adultery. Now, Jesus is telling them here that what you have heard is not incorrect. But what you have heard is incomplete. And that's the problem. What you have heard is not incorrect, but it is incomplete. And when it is incomplete, it falls within the arena called half-truth. And half-truths are worse lies. Because they give you the impression that you are right when you are far from the mark. These guys were celebrating the fact that, well, we have not committed adultery. After all, we have not slept with any woman. Or after all, we have not slept with a man. But Jesus said, no. It doesn't start with the action. It starts from the heart. Whosoever shall look unto a woman to lust after her. So these guys have an incomplete understanding of the word of God. And that's exactly what is important for us to come to realize today. That the adultery starts from our heart. It does not become an action until it is fully blown in our heart. I mean, people don't just walk down the street and just grab any man or grab any woman and just start doing anything. You know, it doesn't happen. Well, I've not seen one. I don't know about you. But you don't just keep walking in the shopping mall and just see one. Boom, boom. You are imagining some stuff, all right? it doesn't just happen that way. There has to be a heart that is filled with some things, you know. People scheme, plan, you know, strategize to commit adultery. It is one of the most difficult things to do, especially when you are under an authority or you are already married. You have to plan it out. But the planning, at the point of the planning, there is a heart that is involved. The adultery is already committed in the heart. Now, note, this is not... It is not correct to say, well, if I think about it, then it is considered that I've committed it, then I might as well go ahead and do it. No, that's not correct. It is not called a sin until choice is involved. Have you noticed that nobody prosecutes you for an armed robber coming to your house to knock to gain an entrance? You're not prosecuted for that. Anybody's house could be knocked upon. Please, can I come in to get some cover? The police are chasing me. Can I come in? No, you're not prosecuted for that. You are only called an accomplice when you open the door and you allow that man, the offender, in. Thought or the temptation for adultery is not what is regarded as sin. You have not sinned at the point of the temptation, the thought coming to your head. Somebody describes it as this. He said, no, you can't stop the bird from flying over your head, but you can obviously stop the bird from making a nest on your head. And I'm sure that there is no bird that will look for my head because there is no head there to form a nest upon. You may not be able to stop the thought, but you actually have the responsibility to stop it from becoming a loss. Look at that word. It said in verse number 28, it said, but I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman, and that's not the hand, to lust for her. That is exactly the point where choice is involved. Choice has to be involved. Do I continue with this thought? Do I continue to undress this man? Do I continue to undress this woman? Do I continue to ruminate on this? The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, are honest, are of good report, are of excellent praise. The Bible says, think on these things. Philippians chapter number 4, I believe. Think on these things. If you don't have the capacity to control your thought, then God wouldn't have given the instruction to think on certain things. It is because we as believers, we have the ability to control our thoughts. You may not be able to stop the temptation from coming. Look at that beautiful woman. You may not be able to stop that. When you are driving especially, you know. And then, you, oh no, I won't look. You know, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice not to look. You are connecting with what I'm talking about. Don't look at anyone. Just keep looking at me. Because you have a choice. There is a choice presented. So at the point of the temptation, the flash of the thought coming to your heart, it's not sin. You have to connect. You have to agree with it. There has to be a connection with the sin to continue to think. And that's when it becomes a sin. And that's important because it is until we begin to realize that we need to deal with some of these things at the thought level, then we'll continue to struggle in action. We'll continue to struggle in action. Now, let's go back. Why would God call anyone that commits adultery a fool? In fact, the Bible passage that we read, the translation calls it a utter fool. In other words, when you are actually categorizing foolishness, this man actually stays at the near bottom, at the bottom of the whole pack. He's stupid. The man is stupid. That's what it says. Another translation says, he has no sense. Why would God use that kind of a strong word? And I hope you know that we're not just talking about men here. We're talking about also women. You know, it is said that half of the men in our society have either committed adultery or are in the process of committing one. Or rather, they have either committed it or they are doing it right now as we speak. A third of the people in our community, depending on the statistics that you want to go by, a third of the women in our society have either done it before or they are doing it right now. And don't ever have the impression that they are just all outside the door of the church. Unfortunately, some of them are in the church. And because the church is a place where sinners come to have the injection of life. The problem I have is when sinners come and they don't, when a sinner comes and he does not want God to have to interfere with certain aspects of his or her life. That's the problem. That's the bad representation that we have as a church. As a young man, I remember how some of our colleagues will be talking about some of the ladies in the church. And they will say, that one, I had that last week. And that one, and you feel very bad. These are the same people that will come to church together. Why? Because it's considered, it's one of those things, everyone does it. And people use all kinds of excuses. You know, we are all humans, you know. We are all humans. It's the chemistry in my body, you know. And as if some of us don't have chemistry, praise God. Everyone has got chemistry, physics, everything. That, you know, you got it. But the Bible calls it a fool. A man that commits adultery, a woman that commits adultery, a man that has premarital sex, extramarital sex, or a woman that does the same is a fool. Why? Why would God use that kind of a strong word? Very simple. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 15. Now, this is very important for us to know. 1 Corinthians, that's the passage we read this morning. Chapter 6. Look at what it says in verse 15. Do you not know? I love that. Stop. Do you not know? In other words, you know when you're talking to somebody and you can't comprehend why they are doing what they are doing. So don't you understand? That's what he's trying to say here. So it's like talking to someone and say, come on, don't you get it? Don't you understand? Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? In other words, you are more than this. You are more than this. That your bodies are members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ, listen, and make them the members of a harlot? Certainly not. What does it mean to make members of a harlot? Verse 16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? Stop. He who is joined to a harlot. That's a very strong word. Because that word, you come across it in Genesis chapter number 2, verse 24. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife. And the two of them shall become one flesh. The same word, joined. So he's saying here that, do you not know that he who is joined to her? In other words, you are insinuating that one single act of sexual intercourse means you are joined with her. You are joined with him. Just one heart. That's what he's saying. And that's continuing that place. He says, for the two, he says, shall become one flesh. So he's bringing the covenant of the relationship of marriage to a covenant that comes into play when a man sleeps with a woman that is not his own wife. Sleep with a prostitute. He says, you are joined with her. Don't you understand that you are joined with her the same way that you are joined with your wife? That's the same way you are joined with her, by just that singular act of intercourse. Don't you get it? Now, what it means is this. The extent of the spiritual connectedness that takes place under a marriage covenant is the same spiritual connectedness that takes place when a man decides to sleep with a woman that is not his wife. When a woman decides to sleep with a man that is not her husband, the same spiritual connectedness, the same depth of spiritual material that they exchange, exactly the same, no difference. That's what he's saying here. That's why he's comparing sleeping with an harlot with being joined with your wife. The same thing. The same thing. Verse 17, he says, but he who is joined to the Lord, the same word, is one spirit within. So we're talking about something spiritual here. You know, there is something, people talk about casual sex. People that lack understanding talk about casual sex. There is nothing casual about sex. Nothing casual about sex. Sex is a deeply spiritual thing. It's a consummation of your togetherness. Is a consummation of your alliance, of your agreement. The same spiritual substance that flows between a man and his wife is the same spiritual substance, is the same depth, rather, of spiritual connectedness that takes place when a man decides to sleep with another woman. Now, this is the problem. The problem is that when you sleep with anyone, you're not just connected for that period of time. As short as it may be, you know, I know some are long, but, you know, even if it's just a minute, and then you finish whatever you want to do, you are not connected just for that period. You continue to get connected. Long after you have separated physically, at the soulish and the spiritual realm, you're connected. There is an access to your spirit man by every sense of demonic oppression in the life of that man. No, they don't have to take any ticket, any visa, to enter into your spirit man and invade your soul. Why? Because you are joined together. You are connected. Are you getting what I'm talking about, people of God? This is the depth at which the enemy operates. That's why the Bible says that man is an utter fool. He just does not understand what is going on. You know, there have been people who will tell you, you know, Pastor, I know exactly when my husband started to sleep with another woman. I know exactly that time. Because that time, I felt he left us. I felt he left me and he left the family, he left the children. Why? Because there is never going to be a cleaving until there is a leaving. Somebody has to be left in order for you to cleave to another one. You don't have the capacity to cleave to two people at one time. You can't be a serial cleaver. You get what I'm talking about? You can't just be a serial joiner. You can't be joining every kind of everyone that goes in skirts around, because there's just one way. You can just, when you are cleaving with one, you are leaving the other. Now, but the problem is everyone that you have ever had sexual intercourse with has exactly the same spiritual access to your spirit man like your wife or like your husband. That's why demonic oppression actually infiltrate into the life of a man. You know, somebody will say, you know, he has never been this. He's always been good, you know, to the children. But these days, he's become very angry, you know, very touchy. Little things, he becomes very touchy. You know? You know why? There is now access to his soul. And you know the dangerous thing? Now, years ago, there was at the level of the medical research, they discovered that, you know, when a man sleeps with a girl or with a woman, it's like sleeping with every other person that girl has ever slept with before meeting the woman or before meeting the man. Such that the lady in question is able to transmit to the man whatever thing she has collected from every other person she has ever slept with. Now, don't forget that the person that she slept with before sleeping with this index man might have slept with other people too. Now, just keep thinking about that network. So every other person that this other person has slept with before sleeping with this lady also has the same access in terms of spiritual, in terms of physical, sexual issues, especially in the area of infection. He has it with this man. Now, if it was at that level, everyone would still be happy. Why? Because we have cure for many of them, not for all of them. Medical science has cure for many of them. Even though there are some devastation that have taken place in the life of people, even at the physical health level, you know. A young lady came to me not too long ago, and she came with this situation called chlamydia. I'm not sure whether you have heard of it. It's a terrible thing. It destroys the womb, destroys, you know, the organs if it's allowed to stay in the body. And I was going to treat her. A colleague of mine had already treated her, but then they discovered some other things. And then she had to come back, and I said, okay, we're going to start this again and just do my medical stuff, you know, the usual way. And as she was about to go, she asked me a question. I hope it's not going to affect my womb and all those. And I said, no, once we treat it, it should be fine. I don't know for how long you've had it. That's a question I can't answer. But if it's not been there for so long, then it's treatable. And she said, okay. Now, but one thing came to my mind. Now, there is a aspect that is treatable, that she has an understanding of. And now, of course, the doctor also has the understanding of. But there is a spiritual aspect that she has no clue about. She has no understanding that there has now been access to her soul by all kinds of demonic forces joined to the other man or the other woman that she has slept with. It's a dangerous game, people of God. So the spirit of anger can actually come into your life without having to ask whether it can come in or not. Why? Because you are joined. The spiritual connectedness is there. The devil can walk in anytime because you are joined to this person. And that's why the Bible says, whosoever commits adultery with a woman or with a man is an utter fool. This is the death we are talking about, people of God. There are demonic oppression of poverty that have entered into families just because of what I'm talking about now. They have access into that family. There are spiritual attacks that have access to the soul of the man, destroys the man. There are instances when the man will say, no, you know, before now, I used to be able to think straight. Now, I can't even think straight anymore. Why? Because there are demonic forces that cause, you know, some psychiatric issues in the man or in the woman that he has just left with that have access to his soul now. It's a deep thing, people of God. It's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. And you may just think that it's just one person I slept with. No. You might have slept with hundreds of people. There may be access to your spirit, man, to your soul, because of just one contact with a woman or with a man. That's why it is important for us, people of God, to guard our soul, to guard it, and to guard it very, very jealously. Very jealously. Now, let me round up by saying this. I'm sure somebody will say, well, I understand that when you are joined to a man, yes. But what about a man or a woman that is not yet married? You know, after all, they are not yet joined to anyone. No, if you read that portion of the scriptures that we have read very well, the Bible says in verse number 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. If you are born again, if you are spirit-filled, at every point in time, you are already joined to the Lord. What happens in marriage, at the covenant, at the cutting of the covenant of marriage, is that somebody else gets joined to you in the Lord if they are saved. But as a single person, you are still joined to the Lord. That's number one. The second thing, which is important, the Lord has... Do you know this God that created sex? You know, because some of us think, well, okay, maybe God created it, but he later found out that he did too good a job and he doesn't know how to reverse it. No. He did that. He created it within the context of a marriage covenant. Now, when an unmarried person, a single person, wants to be having premarital sex, he begins to pick up certain habits that the Lord has not ordained to be around the issue of sexual intercourse. One of it is sneakiness, you know, deceitfulness around the area of sex. So the girl wants to sleep with a man, and he has to tell a lie, you know, to maybe members of her family, her parents, just to sneak around to have a taste of sex. And they would justify it by saying, well, after all, we're going to get married. Okay, if you eventually get married, like I said, in most occasions, it doesn't end in marriage because, like I did mention earlier, no one buys a cow when you are able to get the milk free. No one buys a cow when you are able to get the milk free. Now, so many girls get dumped because the man says, what else? What else? I've had her. Now, but let's even assume that there are instances when eventually it culminates into marriage. Now, the girl is now with this guy, and they are now able to have sexual intercourse 24/7 if they wish to. But this girl has created, cultivated, an habit that is not supposed to be around sex, which is the sneakiness and the deceitfulness around it. Even when he begins to have the real thing, which is the sex, she's not able to have this rush of adrenaline that comes as a result of the sneakiness that comes with sex. Are you getting what I'm talking about? She's not able to get the deceitfulness, that habit of deceitfulness that actually has been creating over the years some adrenaline, you know, some feelings, because it's not just the sexual activity, it's the sneakiness around it now. So she has created a habit that God never intended to be within the confine of marriage or within the confine of sex. And so that's why you have people, even when they are married, they begin to sneak around and sleep with other people. Have you ever asked yourself the question, but his wife is actually even more beautiful than this girl, you know? So why will he commit adultery with her? Simple, because it's not just a physical thing. There is a heart thing already involved. There is a heart matter already involved. And there is now access, as it were, to the soul of the man. People of God, I want to say this with every sense of responsibility. As the one that the Lord has put over this house, as an under-shepherd, if you are involved in anything that is close to marital unfaithfulness, I want to beg you, in the name of the Lord, drop it now, today. I want to beg you to drop it today. It destroys the soul of people. It destroys the soul of people. So what are we going to do? It's simple. The next verse tells us exactly what to do with it. It says in verse number 18, flee sexual immorality. You don't fight with it. You flee. You run. you run for your dear life. Flee sexual immorality. Flee. Everything that a man commits, the Bible says, does outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. You cut off any relationship, anything that is close to it. You know, people have this idea, oh, yeah, we're just friends. We're just taking tea and coffee together. We just mingle at office. If it's coming across into your heart and you begin to have this, the slightest idea that, well, maybe we should take it to the next level, it is time to quit such a relationship. It is time to quit. You don't take the stance of, we'll see how it goes. No! No, you can determine how it goes right now. You can cut it off. Just stop. There are phone numbers, people of God, that married men and women need to delete right away. You don't wait. Flee. You run for your dear life. You don't fight against it. You don't claim you're strong. You just run. You just run away. Years ago, you know, some of us, by the grace of God, we were tutored under people that understand the word of God. And that's what I pray that God brings upon our nation and our community. People being taught the right word of God and not just jumping in and out of church. We're taught that you as a young man, you can't just sleep with anyone, not even with the person that you're going to marry. You can't just do it. You know, and, you know, like any other young man, there was chemistry all over, you know. And I went to the Lord and I prayed, Lord, there is chemistry in my body. Help me deal with this chemistry, you know. And this is exactly what the Lord revealed. Flee, flee, flee. I made a covenant that day with God. Lord, keep me on earth. I want to live long. But when I step out of that boundary, if I commit adultery, or sorry, fornication this time, take my soul. Is that serious? Take my soul. But I put a clause. I said, Lord, but please allow me to repent before you take my soul, because I know where I went. I said, Lord, allow me to repent before you take my soul. A few days after, I called my wife. She was now there, my wife. We were still in courtship, you know. And I said, do you want me to live long? She said, yes. I said, there is only one thing that will kill me. You. He said, wow. If I sleep with you, I'm dead. Help me not to die before my time. And we both held hands together and we prayed. And I repeated exactly what I've said in our presence. I said, in the presence of my of Buki, I'm making and renewing that covenant. Take my soul the day I sleep with her. Now, people of God, you see, this thing is really serious. I don't know where we have come to this. Maybe it was a dangerous prayer I prayed that time, actually, you know. But did the chemistry stop? No, the chemistry never stopped. But I knew that I have covenanted my life unto the Lord. And she also was watching out for me, because she knew there was no other person in my life except her. I've said that jokingly before. There was no girlfriend. Nobody was going to marry me, you know. I was just on my own. No, before I met her. It was a decision I made. People of God, as a young man, no flirting around, no talking, you know, because my father perhaps actually had taught me as a young boy, maybe it was not the right thing. If you start talking to girls, you will start failing in your class. You know, you start performing badly. And I guided my academics jealously. So if you're talking to me, I'm just looking at the other side. My father told me not to talk to a girl. I need to pass my exam. It was later I realized that it was not really true, but it was too late to change, you know. And one day my wife came from, she was in another part of the country. I'm rounding up in a short while. I just want to round up with this. She was in another part of the country, and I was doing my house job as an house officer somewhere. And as an house officer, they would give you a place to live and stuff like that. Now, it was supposed to be a shared accommodation, so there were three of us living in a flat. So we had our own rooms, and we were sharing the same, you know, sitting room. The lounge was common. And then she came. At that time, there was no communication. There was no way to communicate to me that she was coming and all those things. She came to me, and to make the matter worse, all of the guys that were living together traveled just the day before, you know. Perfect setting for the devil, you know. It got rid of them, and then I was the only person, lonely, you know. And then as she came, as we were talking, there was this heavy rain. Ah, Lord. Heavy rain just came. And then I said, where are you going to sleep tonight? Said, I don't know. So what are we going to do? Said, we need to find a solution. I can't sleep with you in this house. I can't sleep in the same house with you. That's what I mean, you know. And then when it was getting to 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, we were just talking and chatting. And then it was around 11 o'clock. And it was raining heavily outside. I said, you know, Buki, you are sleeping in this house. I'm going outside. She said, to where? I said, I don't know, but I will find a place to sleep. I will see you in the morning. I packed my blanket and stuff. You know, I will see you. And then I went out. There is this common room for doctors. You go there when you want to sit down and just relax while you're waiting for the patient. I slept that night. And then as soon as I got in there, the rain just boom. And I was like, Lord, Lord, Lord. The following morning when I came, she said, why did you do that? I said, I already told you. Flee. You flee every appearance. Last night you were like the evil, you were like the devil. No, I didn't tell her that, you know. And I needed to flee. People of God, what we're talking about is serious. We need to protect our Christian testimony. It has a lot to do with you fleeing every appearances of evil. It also has to do with testimony amongst other people. Because nobody will know that you don't sleep with a woman that is sleeping in your house. Nobody will believe you. You are destroying your Christian testimony because they won't even ask you questions. As a young person, we have made that covenant. And every other time that my wife visited me, and you may call this traditional or archaic, old-fashioned, I will never sleep in my house. And then after our marriage, one of those guys that I used to go and sleep in his house, and then my wife came, and then we were sleeping in the same house. The following day, I think it was a Saturday, my friend was passing by, and I would say, hello. He said, I thought I saw Buki yesterday. I said, yes, she came. He said, now you got the license, you know. People of God, flee every appearance of evil. Anything that will bring evil into your heart, cut yourself off it. Your soul is too precious in the hand of the Lord that you cannot toil away with it in the place, in the lap of adultery. If your internet is causing you trouble, tell your provider, cut it off. Cut it off for 3 months. You will survive. I can tell you that. You will survive. Because people are glued into pornography, every kind of pornographic thing in our day and time. It is time, people of God, to take our soul back from the evil one. Let me conclude by saying this. Like I said when we started, there is forgiveness with God. There is forgiveness with God. There is forgiveness with God. Today you can ask him, Lord, I'm sorry. I've done wrong things. I'm in a wrong relationship now. Save my soul. I repent. I'm cutting it off. And as you are doing that, you are asking God for forgiveness and you are making a determination to cut off every form of immorality in your life. Shall we pray?